The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
So I'm here again with the product manager for Apple, Joe Shore. And I thought, Joe, today we would start delving into 1.5 and really talk about some of the features. I think the feature that jumps out the most at me, the revelation in this, is the now not only do you have the managed library, but you can have a referenced library in Aperture. So let's just take it from the top and let's talk about where we were and where we're going and let's see where it takes us.
Yeah, absolutely, Derek. This is unquestionably the big ticket item on this release for Aperture 1.5. It's the single largest issue that we were getting feedback about, and it was an area where we decided that we wanted to give users a lot more flexibility, right? So, you know, we clearly saw that one of the biggest problems photographers were facing was the photo management, file management side of things. Where do you put all this stuff and how do you organize it on disk so that you can find it later and not find yourself accidentally throwing things away or thinking you backed them up and you didn't? There's a whole universe of problems associated with all of that stuff. Well, Aperture 1.0, our original release, you know, made the file management part of the job really, really easy. You just fed stuff into Aperture. You didn't have to worry about where it went. You didn't have to make subfolders. You didn't have to worry about how those subfolders were named. All the metadata, all the thumbnails, everything stayed in this one place. And then if you used the Vault feature, you clicked one button, and it backed it all up, and that's the end of the story. So it's really, really simple. And we have a lot of customers who just love the simplicity of that. Now, there was a catch with that system, which was that meant that your library had to live all in one place. And if your library keeps growing, it doesn't take too much thinking to realize that sooner or later you're gonna have a problem. You're going to run out of space, and you need a little more flexibility. So we opened up the library with 1.5. This was the big change. Now, we didn't take away what we call the managed library approach. And if that works for you, if you have a volume of images where it really works to just feed them into this one location and know that one click is backing them up and nothing ever gets lost or you don't break any links. Every time you click on an image, it's there. You can still use it that way. When you import images into Aperture, one of the options is always bring the images into the Aperture library. There's an option when you import called store files, and it asks you where do you want to store them. In the Aperture library is one option. The new feature, the new flexibility we've added, is that you also have the option of saying, put those anywhere. Put them anywhere I want. I can store the images in another folder on my own hard drive. I can plug in external FireWire drives. I can have multiple drives. So the content that makes up your Aperture library can now literally live almost anywhere. It could be on any number of distributed drives. It could be on an Xserve RAID if you have, you know, mass storage available to you. Or if you have images that, you know, are sort of part of your archives and you still want a window into where to find those, you can actually import from DVDs and CDs, and Aperture will simply reference those images from those CDs and DVDs. So the images don't actually have to be stored in any one specific location. Now, that makes you responsible for those images in those respective folders and on those drives and on those DVDs and CDs. So there's a little more flexibility there and a little more responsibility on the part of the user to make sure that they have those sources available when necessary. But it really adds to the flexibility. And essentially what it means now is you can use Aperture as a library, a repository for your entire photo collection, regardless of where the photos live.
So we're going to dig a little bit deeper into this because there's lots to talk about, including the whole preview side of thing, which I want to make sure we get to. But you know, one point I want to bring up right now is that if you have the managed library, you don't have to have that managed library live on your computer's hard drive, especially for laptop users. I personally like the managed library a lot, and that's the method I've been using, and we'll see if I change or not. You know, but I have external drives that I carry with me. The library lives there, and then whenever I get to other drives, I can back up using, you know, the Vault feature. So I just want to point out that even if you go the managed library route, the library doesn't have to live on our hard drive because any of us who are shooting RAW, there is no way we can use a local drive to manage these big files.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it made me think of something else that's I think worth mentioning here, which is that this isn't an all or nothing deal. So it's not like as an Aperture user, you have to decide, where are my pictures going to live? Do they have to all be here or do they all have to be there? You can mix and match in whatever way makes sense to you. So I'll give you an example of how some photographers are working where they use a combination of these two different approaches to file management. When they're in the field, say with a MacBook Pro and they're shooting, they will bring the images into the Aperture library while they're in the field on their MacBook Pro, and those images will all be consolidated into the project that they're shooting. The idea behind that is that what they've produced at the end of their shoot is one consolidated project file that can be very easily now exported and transported to another machine. Then they bring it home, and they take that one file, that it's a bundle actually that has all of the source content in it, has all the raw images, as well as any other metadata that they may have added in the field. And they just copy that one file over to, let's say, their Mac Pro, their studio machine. Now, once they've imported the project into the studio machine, they can use a feature in Aperture, a command called relocate masters, to now take those images, which are still embedded inside the project, and now they'll push those out to their mass storage. So they're actually using a combination of the two different file management styles to make it easier to move the images to where they ultimately are going to, you know, live forevermore, or at least until they get, you know, permanently archived somewhere. So you can do this on a project-by-project basis. You can actually even do it on an image-by-image basis. And if you change your mind, you can just switch them around. You can take images that are stored, say, on multiple drives externally, and there's a command called consolidate, which will then take those and bring those master images into the Aperture library, so now they're all in one place. So you can actually use these file management tools to move things from drive to drive, to bring them in, to sort of clean up your mess, you know, bring all of the images into one place so that you can back it up. It's really, really flexible. The idea is to just sort of let people work however they want.
I really like what you just brought up, because I've always been a huge fan of the project container. I think it's one of my favorite features of Aperture, because it does. It holds everything, my metadata, my web pages, you know, whatever I design is nice and neat. And I've been using it as sort of a mini backup myself, just to drag that out and drag it into other Aperture libraries. So this method of creating possible, you know, these projects in the field and then dragging them out onto your master computer, then you can decide, as you said, whether to consolidate, deconsolidate, however you want to work it. Mm-hmm. The point, though, that's still at the bottom of all this is that the minute you move away from a managed file system, you have to do more thinking and you have to take more responsibility, don't you? I mean, it's not just the mindless sort of load into Aperture anymore.
That is true. As I mentioned, you know, if you're going to keep these files stored anywhere you want, you have to, for example, make sure that a particular volume is mounted and is accessible if you expect to be able to go and retrieve the high res, you know, the full res image. We have done a lot of work to make sure that that's as easy as possible. I'll give you some examples. If you have referenced images on your hard drive, so let's say you've got a project that is referencing images on a given external FireWire drive, you have to work pretty hard for Aperture to lose these. If I take those images and, not using Aperture now, just behind Aperture's back, I go and I move those into a different folder on the same drive, Aperture still finds them. If I move them into another subfolder beyond that and I rename the folder, Aperture still finds those. If I take the files themselves, the raw files, and I rename the raw files, and I move them into a different folder and rename that folder and move it to another location on the same drive, Aperture still finds those. They're completely linked up. We follow those images wherever you go. So we save you from a lot of your own, you know, potential difficulties. Now, if you move the images to a different drive completely, now we have to go find those, right? That Aperture can't find those anymore. They're going to show up as not found. The good news is that we actually have a command in the application called manage referenced files, and it has all the tools you need to relink these images together. It shows you the thumbnails. It can automatically relink whole directories at a time, so all you need to do is literally point to one image in that project, and we'll just automatically update the database to point to the new location. So I think this is an area where we sort of went beyond the call of duty. It's one thing to say, we're going to allow you to keep your pictures anywhere, and it's another thing to give you the tools to be able to organize them. and to keep track of them even when they do move around. So there's quite a bit of – there's a pretty robust set of tools there to save you from yourself and from potentially losing your content.
Well, and I think that's a really big deal, and I think probably a lot of photographers will end up using those features as they move – because, you know, we move things around. You know, now, when you move files around behind Aperture's back, as you said, on the same drive and Aperture's reconnecting with them, does it let you know that it's doing that, or does it just happen so quickly that, just sort of voila kind of thing?
It just happens. It just stays up to date. It is able to track the unique identifier associated with that file anywhere on the drive. There is a way of knowing what's going on, though, because for every image that's a referenced image, there is a show in Finder command. So at any point, we can take you to that location so you can see exactly what you've done. And then also that same window that I mentioned, the command that opens it is called Managed Referenced Files. Will show you literally path by path. It'll show you all the paths for the images that you have selected. It'll even show you a list of all the drives that are currently in play, all of the ones that the images live on. So you can see at a glance sort of where things are distributed.
Yeah, the show in Finder, by the way, is one of my favorite features in iTunes. So I'm really glad that came about, because it's really neat to be able to, when you're working in the application, just to click on it and find out exactly where it is on your hard drive. That's way cool.
Yes, and by the way, there's another really powerful side to that, which is that if the image is offline, let's say it's on a DVD, and you're looking at the thumbnail or looking at the preview on the, maybe you've done a search and you found the image and you go, oh, that's the one that I need. Use the show in Finder command, because that's the command that will now tell you which DVD to insert in order to actually retrieve the image. So when it knows even when it's offline, and it tells you which drive you need to mount.
Oh, I like that a lot. That's great. So now another part of this whole thing is the whole preview thing. And you were talking earlier, there's really sort of four key points that we should know about previews. You want to just sort of run through the thinking behind the previews?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a really important major feature of Aperture 1.5. And there's, as you mentioned, there's sort of four different areas where previews come into play. And let me first define what we're talking about there. So every time you import an image, and it could be a raw image, but it could also be a JPEG or a TIFF. Aperture is really designed to smooth out the raw workflow, but we've told that story so well that I think sometimes people forget that this is a really great application for JPEGs. You don't have to shoot RAW. So whatever you bring in, your original high-res images, one of your options now, it's only an option, you don't have to do this, but one of the options is to have Aperture automatically generate a preview of each image. And we have a lot of control that we give you over how big that preview is. It could be as large as the original. It can be scaled down to just fill, say, the screen of your MacBook. You can control the JPEG compression. So I can set this up in such a way that for a 20 megabyte raw image, I'm storing only, maybe a 200 kilobyte preview. But it's still big enough to fill my screen, so I can really see what I've got there, even if that 20 megabyte image is offline. So I have control over this, and I can generate previews for every image in my library or every image in a project, or I can literally pick and choose. I can say, I only need previews of my 5-star images and have Aperture automatically generate just the previews of the selected images that I've asked to make previews for. So you get to decide how big they are, when they get made, whether they get made automatically, and which pictures they get made for. Once they're there, what do they accomplish? Well, here's the four things. One is, you could now have those images offline, so those DVDs could be on the shelf, your external hard drives could be unplugged. If it's an external hard drive that's used for archived projects, it could be in your safe deposit box. Doesn't matter. We will still be able to show not just a thumbnail along with the metadata, but you can literally have a preview that's big enough to do a slideshow. Those previews are there for that very reason. Number two, these previews are what make it possible for us to share these images with other applications automatically. So we've added in Aperture 1.5 integration with iLife and iWork 06. So what we're talking about there is you want to add images to a Keynote slideshow. Now you can open up the media browser in Keynote and your Aperture library is there. And when you drag those thumbnails in, what you're really getting is that processed, ready-to-use JPEG version of each image. iMovie, iDVD, GarageBand. If you want to sync up Aperture with your iPod using iTunes, where again, we're grabbing those previews. So those previews are what gets shared with other applications, and it makes it really easy now to take advantage of all of our tools to create, you know, photo DVDs or self-contained slideshows, or if you want to add these into iMovie and do the Ken Burns effect on them, you know, all of that stuff is there for you. You can keep all of your photos in Aputure and then just drag them into any one of these iApps. And by the way, the supported iLife applications include iPhoto, surprisingly. So I don't think a lot of people have really discovered this yet, but if you launch iPhoto now, you will find that there's a command called Show Aputure Library, and it opens up a little separate browser window with a window into your entire Aputure library, all of the projects, all of the albums, all of your smart albums, and you can now take a specific image from Aputure and drag it into iPhoto. So if you want to, for example, process your raw images in Aputure, create as many versions of these images as you want, and then turn those into cards and calendars, we've provided this sort of express route that gets you from one application to the next. So that's what Previews accomplishes, even that connection to iPhoto. Another thing that Previews accomplish, we use those for slideshows within Aputure. Aputure has a really nice slideshow tool. You can have slideshows across multiple displays, and you can do multiple images per screen with a nice dissolve effect. So there's a lot of options there. And we use the Previews because this way we can create a really nice, smooth slideshow regardless of the processing power on your Mac. It'll be nice and fluid and really cinematic as it moves from image to image. And then finally, we use Previews to display in the viewer while the RAW is still decoding. So you'll see this benefit or not depending upon the power of your machine. But in some cases, if it's a large file and the RAW decode is still happening and the image is still loading, that preview, if it's available, will be displayed first. So you'll get a nice, sharp rendition of the image in the viewer even while the raw decode is still completing in the background. So it speeds up the browsing process, again, depending upon the hardware that you're on.
Yeah, this fourth point I think is a good one to talk about for a few minutes, because before we had Previews, what would happen, especially on the machines that were a little bit slower, it was almost like a progressive image. We would see sort of a not totally sharp image, and if we had the little wheel turned on, it'd be spinning, and then at some point it would pop into sharpness. And at that point, as I recall, also your HUD, then you could start editing. You couldn't start editing until that happened. Now, if there is, I guess there's some sort of time there that's acceptable. If it's too long, then you get the preview instead. So you get a sharp image right away, but you're still working on you're still decoding your original RAW file, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So what's happened is if previews are available, when you click, say, the left or right arrow to move to a specific image, or you just click on a thumbnail, the first thing, of course, we're going to show you is the thumbnail. There's a 1 megapixel version of your image that exists as a thumbnail. That will appear first. But while the image is decoding, if a preview is available, that will be displayed immediately. And so what that means is even as you see the loading indicator and even as you're waiting for the adjustments display to light up, indicating that you're ready to edit the raw data, even before that happens, the image will pull into focus and will be sharp faster. So it's just a little bit of a speed benefit that you get so that you're waiting a little less time to actually see if the image is in focus.
And actually, I think that's a nice thing because, I mean, every photographer works different. That's sort of a theme that runs through all of our conversations. But for me, I usually study the image for just a few seconds before I start editing. I want to, you know, before you jump in there and start changing things, I want to make sure that I, you know, have gathered what I have there. So now I get to study something that's nice and sharp and really figure out what I want to do with the heads-up display. And then probably by the time I'm finished with that, even if there is a delay, it'll light up and I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I'll give you a tip on that one. If you are different photographers, as you mentioned, work different ways. If you're in a mode in Aputure where you're basically just browsing through the images, you're not going to be editing any of the, you know, you're not making adjustments, right? You're not changing exposure or white balance. You're just going through and looking at them. Make sure that you hide the adjustments panel or hide that heads-up display of the adjustments, because every time you move to another image, we're activating those adjustments and we're drawing the histogram. Well, if you're not going to be using any of that, why wait for those processor cycles to do that? So if you hide those, you're going to find that your browsing responsiveness is that much faster, and it'll be much easier to go through from image to image and just like make your ratings, for example.
That's a great tip for laptop users in particular, isn't it? Well, I think this is a great place to wrap up for today. We're going to delve in more into 1.5 in future shows, but is there anything else that we've forgotten around reference files and managed files and previews?
Let me throw in one other piece that's really kind of cool. It's one of my favorite features, and so I'm going to mention that, which is when we allow you to then copy files or move files to any location, as I specified, the one little extra that we threw in is we will automatically, at your request, generate subfolders based on date or based on project name or based on the actual time that the photo was shot, and we'll organize your photos into these subfolders while we're placing them wherever you asked. So again, it's one of my favorite features because it's beyond the call of duty. We're not just letting you put these images anywhere. We're actually organizing them on disk for you. This is a fairly deep feature, but if you dig into it, it is amazingly powerful. So check that one out too.
That is a great way to end the segment. Thanks so much, Joe.
Thanks a lot, Derek.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time.